Welcome to the Sleep Like a Boss podcast. If you're struggling with sleep and have tried everything that Google, your friends, or Facebook groups have recommended and you're still struggling, stop looking for that one thing to fix your sleep. The human body is complex and one single supplement or lifestyle fix is likely not going to be the solution. Here on the Sleep Like a Boss podcast, we dig into all aspects of sleep for you and unravel the complexity. My name is Annika Carroll. I'm the new CEO of Sleep Like a Boss, and me and my team are here to end the epidemic of sleep deprivation. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Sleep Like a Boss podcast. I'm Annika Carroll, your host, and I have Heather Gray with me today on the show. Heather is the Lyme boss, and that is what we're going to talk about. Heather, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm so excited about this interview because you have a personal history of decades of dealing with Lyme and chronic illness and a lot of stuff that goes along with that. We're going to touch on that in a second. And you have made it your mission to help people through this and help them heal, improve their symptoms, feel better, and just live a healthier, better life. And you have a podcast, you are a practitioner, you're an author, you have really put all that knowledge to the forefront so people can understand this, I think, pretty devastating situation that a lot of people in who struggle with Lyme, and you might be wondering, why does she have somebody talking about Lyme with sleep? Because there is a connection, and I want to put that out there, and I want to talk to you about this overall topic because I think a lot of people just don't know. They're out there, they're searching Google back and forth and maybe find somebody they can talk to and pass on knowledge, but I really want to dive into that with you today more and create awareness about this topic. So before we start going into the deep end of this, tell us how you got there. What was your personal journey and how did this make you become the Lyme boss?
It's funny. We got the sleep boss with the Lyme boss. And last night I did not sleep like a boss because I've been trying out continuous glucose monitors and it takes them a while sometimes to calibrate. And so mine woke me up 4 times last night saying I had low blood sugar with alarm. So I got up this morning feeling like I've been hit in the head. So if I get a little off track, excuse my sleep deprivation. It's horrible. The struggle is real, but I usually start off these stories with, you know, I was basically born full of shit, right? Like how many kids do you know are constipated at a very young age? And that was started out my history of let's throw band-aids at symptoms, right? Let's put her on stool softeners. Let's give her these thick, nasty oils. But nobody was trying to figure out why this 4-year-old couldn't poop. You know, I would sit on the potty for so long that my feet would fall asleep. Hindsight's 2020, fast forward. Turns out that was the same year my uncle committed suicide. And it was a very, you know, huge trauma in my family that I also think kicked on my celiac disease gene at that same time. So I'm also eating a standard American diet, right? Kool-Aid, mac and cheese, hot dogs, you know, ravioli, Chef Boyardee, and, you know, starting off my leaky gut. So move forward. Early childhood trauma, a leaky gut, an autoimmune process in place, and it just left me to be the perfect host for that when I did get bit by a tick when I was 13 to, you know, like I said, be the perfect host for getting Lyme disease. And so my symptoms didn't show up until 2 years later when I ended up in the psych ward for the first time for my own suicide attempt. Again, more band-aids on symptoms, right? Nobody was trying to figure out why this 15-year-old was trying to off herself. And back then, that was before we actually had separate psych wards for, you know, youth and adults. And so I was in there with adults and holy shit, I could write a whole very scary screenplay over my experience in the psych ward when I was 15. But, you know, a couple more suicide attempts, you know, 20, 30 practitioners lately, all telling me that it was all in my head. You know, I had chronic widespread pain that would migrate, right? So there's like flag number one. There's only like 5 diseases in the disease categories that have migrating pain. So if you have migrating pain, they should be a flag on the play to look deeper into Lyme disease, right? It's not in your head. You're not a hypochondriac. And it really does present that way. Like one day it's your right shoulder and the next day it's your left knee. And then it might be your right hip and it migrates, right? So sleep issues. Oh my gosh, the sleep issues. I remember in high school falling asleep on my desk every day during class and getting into so much trouble. And again, I wasn't up late, you know, I was usually in bed by 9 or 10 and still, you know, feeling just completely white the next day that I'm falling asleep in class. So, you know, the sleep issues, the mental health stuff, the gut stuff, the pain, the Lyme rage, which is actually part of a co-infection that comes along with Lyme disease that actually causes, you know, extreme reactivity, anger. So, you know, maybe some of the Karens of the world aren't Karens. Maybe they have Lyme disease and they're just reactive, you know? So that's kind of how everything started for me.
Wow. And then you, where was the point? Like what happened? How did you figure it out?
9 years. So my kid at the time was 9. And I must have been having another low point where people are literally constantly talking me off the edge. Because I had suicidal thoughts sometimes 15, 20 times a day, you know, driving down the street and picturing, you know, taking myself out on that nearest tree, that wall, that brick, like it's crazy. And I actually wanted to start a new campaign of stop calling people crazy, say your brain inflammation is showing, right? Because I wasn't crazy, right? My brain was massively inflamed. My gut was massively inflamed. If you've got a leaky gut, you've got a leaky brain. And nobody was talking about these things back then. And the louder you scream, I'm not crazy, the more and more they go, that's what a crazy person would say. So it was just this horrible vicious cycle. And I think I was going through another period of really down. And a girlfriend of mine said, I want you to go see this new practitioner in Denver, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, whatever. Within 5 minutes, like she had a cool accent. I can't remember where she was from. 5 minutes, I'm talking to her and she gets this twinkle in her eye and she goes, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And I'm thinking, bullshit, I've been here 5 minutes. And she goes, have you ever been bit by a tick? I said, yeah, actually, when I was 13, I remember we pulled one out of my stomach and we pulled it out the wrong way. We used heat, right? We put a lighter to it and we're finding out that's the wrong way because you'll actually make it regurgitate, you know, whatever it has in its system. So your chances of getting something from it just go up that much higher. Mm-hmm. And so I did a Western blot. I don't think it was like a slam dunk with the Western blot because most Western blots and the ELISA are looking for an immune response. And if you've had chronic Lyme like I have for, you know, decades, it's really crafty at shutting down your immune system. So it doesn't really show up that well. It's what's crazy is just the last couple of months, the CDC finally recognized chronic mm-hmm. Lyme disease as a disease. Mm-hmm. The disease that I've had my whole life, over 30 years, finally got recognized as a disease. Man, you talk about gaslighting. Like, don't even get me started on that one. But yeah, so it was her. And then the funny thing was, so I went the traditional route because I didn't know any better, right? This doctor was throwing napalm of antibiotics at a body that wasn't sleeping, wasn't pooping, wasn't sweating, stress level was high, diet was crap. Right? You can't go to war with a body that hasn't worked right in decades. I thought I was going to die. And that's when I took a step back and I heard the founder of FDN, which is a functional diagnostic nutrition, speak on, you got to heal the gut and you have to balance your hormones and you need to open detox pathways. I was a silly hairstylist at the time. I had no medical background, but for some reason, when I heard him speak, intuitively, I got it. And I begged my husband at the time, ex-husband, to take the course. At the time, it was like $1,500. I think it's now like up to $8,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the program is you actually do some functional labs on yourself. So you become a guinea pig. And I thought that this would give me some answers. And it did. You know, I also had Blastocystis hominis, which is a very common parasite to have, especially if you have pets, that caused a lot of bloating and pain in your gut, especially after you ate. You know, I had other bacterial overgrowth. You know, my liver was so congested, so it wasn't working. I wasn't sleeping at night. My hormones were a mess. And so there was all these other lifestyle things that literally within 3 months, I was like 85% better just by dialing in diet. So their whole premise, you know, FDN is diet, rest, stress reduction, supplementation, and stress reduction. I think, oh, I forgot exercise, but it's the dress for success model. And it's getting back down to the foundations. And that's what I love talking most about, is because this lifestyle is not conducive to human health at all. And it's sad, because when people are on this chronic merry-go-round, to get off of it can feel kind of isolating. And, you know, because it's not, I don't eat out like other people do. I don't stay up past 10 out doing things like other people do. Like, it can feel very isolating. And so that's why I like talking about this stuff, is to normalize it a little bit more, right?
Absolutely. So when you got bitten, did you have a round of antibiotics right after? Did you have a bull's eyes rash? Did you know that this was going to be a problem?
No, because I was living in Missouri at the time. And back then, and still even now, a lot of people think that that bullseye rash, which is common, but it's not the be all end all. So only 30% of people who get Lyme disease get that bullseye rash. Okay. I was not one of them. I did not get a rash. I did not get a fever. I had no symptoms until, like I said, about 2 years later, when I ended up in the psych ward for the first time. And then that's kind of when all hell broke loose, and pain in my body, and my knee would swell up to like 5 times its size. And like I said, sleep disturbances. But yeah, so no, but that's part of the reason. My mom was a nurse at the time. And like I said, she didn't even think to take me to the doctor, because I didn't present with a rash.
You didn't present with anything. No.
Yep.
So it's something where we say, like, it really, what will you say? If somebody can have chronic Lyme without it even presenting itself obviously originally, what are things where you would have people start looking into that this might be what's causing their issue? It's the migrating pain you were talking about. What other symptoms would be things where you were like, oh, red flag?
You know, almost all of them. Like, and FDN talks quite often that no matter how common a symptom may be, it is never normal. Right. So if you haven't figured out what the root cause to your symptoms are, this could be something to look into. So they call it the great mimicker, because it's a spiral shaped bacteria. It's in the same family as syphilis. So syphilis used to make, you know, cause people to go mad, you know, so it's no wonder that it does so much damage to the brain. But because of its shape, it can actually invade any tissue, any system, any organ, and systematically start shutting things down and causing issues. It loves to eat collagen. That's part of the reason why you get a lot of joint pain. But they call it the great mimicker. So it looks like MS. It looks like chronic fatigue. It looks like fibromyalgia. It looks like, you know, fill in the blank. And so if you've had some of these kind of blanket diagnoses, right, where there's no real root cause, you know, I would dig a little deeper. And even like, I can't remember the last statistic that I heard, but like even a very large percent of MS is actually undiagnosed Lyme disease. Alzheimer's, dementia, bipolar, anxiety, depression, so many things. And that's why it can be so hard. It likes to present in a lot of autoimmune stuff, where the weak link is, right, in your genetics. You know, for me, having the celiac gene and having that turned on, you know, it did give me a lot of gut issues, which then causes a lot of sleep issues, right? Because when you have a leaky gut and you're not producing melatonin properly, then you know, so that whole cascade, which I'm sure you talk to your folks about all the time, you know, so, and then, like I said, some people it's more joint stuff, you know, it's fascinating. Like, we have co-evolved with this bacteria for thousands of years. They found it in an Italian, a caveman that they found in like the Italian Alps, like frozen in ice, like thousands of years. You know, there's some speculation that there's been some genetic altering going on since the 70s. And that's maybe why it's a little bit more virile than it used to be. I also think it's that, and, you know, 5G and, you know, vaccinations, and just the toxicity of this world kind of leaving us a little bit more susceptible to these kind of cooties. So I think there's, you know, there's a lot of different answers, but, and I kind of went on a tangent, but yes, those are some of the symptoms, you know, so chronic widespread pain, headaches, fatigue, extreme fatigue, hormonal issues, sleep issues, digestive issues. So, yeah.
Hey, yeah. And I totally agree with that. I think we are such a, the human body is so smart on the one hand, right? Like, it can heal itself. It can figure things out. But the environment we're in are so toxic, and we need to just proactively work so hard on supporting our systems to be able to still function in that environment that we're in, because we're not made to live in.
No. And if I could like rebrand myself like tomorrow, it would be like the detox boss or the detox diva or something, because really that is where a lot of the magic happens, especially with someone like myself who was constipated, right? My whole freaking life. How toxic is that?
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't sweating, you know, and then eating all these toxic, nasty foods. I had mercury in my mouth, you know, the list goes on and on. But man, once I put detox into my life, and then I have a regular detox regimen, like I don't stop, you know, every week it's a coffee enema and it's my sauna 3 times a week and it's castor oil packs and it's skin brushing, you know, and people might think that it's excessive, but it's the reason why part of the reason, the other reason is nervous system retraining, but those two together are the reason why I haven't relapsed, because it also makes me sad that a lot of folks who have autoimmune and or Lyme issues, they think that flares in relapsing is just also not, you know, it's normal for the disease. And it doesn't have to be, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's more normal because you still haven't gotten, you haven't dialed in a lot of the lifestyle stuff. Like I don't have any issues with Lyme. I haven't for over 3 years. I used to relapse every 3 to 6 months, but it's because I was still eating inflammatory foods. I still, you know, wasn't detoxing properly. So I didn't do the nervous system retraining. Once I started learning that, completely changed my life and how I work with people. And it's so sad because people dismiss that so much. You know, I'm teaching them breath work and somatic experiencing work, these little exercises that literally take 30 seconds a few times a day. They make such huge impacts on the body, but because it's not a pill, because it's not hard, you know, they dismiss it. And it's just like, no, just because it's simple, you know, it doesn't mean it's not powerful.
I totally agree. And I love how you, because that's how I do, how I approach sleep, right? Because we're both FDNs. That's how we approach the our clients is really that combination of what's going on physically, but also what is your nervous system doing? Because if you cannot get that to calm down and you need to learn how to self-regulate, that your inflammation comes down, your cortisol can come down. Oh, when cortisol comes down, we can sleep, right? It's like, it's all connected. Tell us a little bit about your approach to like after, like detoxing, I hear is one really big thing, but like, what are pillars besides detoxing that you work with your clients on?
I need to. So I have the Lyme Boss method, right? So the yeah. L is lymph drain or detox. Why is put yourself first, right? How many of us, especially entrepreneurial women, the majority of the people I work with that have Lyme disease are type A personality type of people, right? They're go, 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 burn the candle at both ends. They're putting themselves last, especially women. They put their kids first, their husband first, their job first, their friends first, their mom first, you know, and they wonder why they're sick. So L is put yourself first. M is mindfulness. So it's some of that nervous system retraining. It's the watching what's going on in your brain, because holy shit, I used to be so horrible to myself. I made a video a long time ago called Put the Bat Down, because I was just my own worst enemy. And you can't heal when you're giving those thoughts. Those thoughts have a certain chemical reaction that affect your body in a certain way and keeps you sick. So E is exercise, B is be the boss of your own health. So again, putting yourself first, making yourself a priority. O is organic. So I'm a huge proponent of organic foods and getting toxins out of your lifestyle, because that's just another burden on the body, right? And then S, stress reduction, and the other S is self-care. So also part of that detox or brain retraining, like every week I have to put myself first. Mm-hmm. There are days where I don't even start work until noon if I haven't gotten my regimen in the morning, because I'm no good to anybody if I don't fill my cup up first. I don't care how selfish you think that is or you think, but that's kind of how we were taught to think. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's sick. So now I'm saying, well, you need to challenge that, right? Like I come first. And then I can be a good practitioner. Then I can be a good mother. Then I can be a good, you know, partner to my husband, but not until I take care of myself first. So that's kind of the method that I work with folks. I use a lot of biohacking tools as well, because I'm trying to really get to the low-hanging fruit. It's tough for people to follow through with a new diet, new lifestyle changes if they still feel like shit and their brain's not working. So I do like to bring in some other tools, you know, bioenergetic stuff, you know, the mindfulness stuff, the brain, you know, the nervous system retraining stuff. So it's a whole combination. I'm phenomenal at looking at the whole picture because Lyme patients, especially, they've had to be their own health advocate for so long. They come to me so sophisticated, more so than a lot of other clients. They've already dialed in this, they've dialed in this, they've dialed in this, but sometimes they've done it out of order, right? Or they're just missing this one little corner piece that will help lock everything together. And so, you know, when I first started, you know, we were taught like to do packages and we run these same labs on everybody, but it didn't work that way for my Lyme clients because, like I said, they all came to me at different stages in their journey and I needed to meet them where they were and use what worked and then figure out what wasn't and what, you know, what they were still lacking. So it is a very individualized approach. And I do like to meet them where they're at.
Is Lyme something that generally presents more in women than in men?
Yes. Well, yeah, yes and no. Men are a lot more apt to get, there was a huge, oh my gosh, Dr. Patterson wrote a book, Women in Lyme. And talks about how men will get a diagnosis like 2 times faster than a woman will, that we get kind of dismissed and it's hormones and it's your age and it's this and it's mommy brain and it's all these different things. And again, you know, autoimmune, you know, hits women, like what's the statistic on that? Isn't it like 60%, you know, more than men, you know, and they're kind of looking, they're kind of, if you're more susceptible to an autoimmune, you're going to be more susceptible to Lyme. And so, yes, it does have a tendency to hit women more. And women have a tendency to, like I said, wait a lot longer to get a diagnosis before a man will.
Okay. Yeah. It is. I find it so frustrating. It's so.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started. Yeah.
I had somebody on the podcast. We were talking about autoimmune and exactly that. Right. And then we are just physiologically different. And that's why often that autoimmune just presents itself more, right, in combination with toxins and then waiting for a diagnosis for so long and being basically not taken seriously is just oil
crime against time. Women
yeah
is what it is. It's a crime against women. It's heartbreaking and I'm so excited to actually be part of life right now, you know, whether it was the Me Too movement, you know, quite a few years ago, but just starting to see this trend of things shift and women getting more of a voice, right? A seat at the table of, hey, this is not cool. I mean, if you think about the whole span of our lives and just, you know, same thing, you know, with African Americans and women, like we're just now starting to get rights. Like that just blows my brain. But what a cool time to be alive, to be a woman, because we are starting to turn the tides a little bit and saying we're not going to stand for this shit anymore. And I'm right there at the forefront saying, nope, you're going to listen to us.
Yeah. Awesome. Can we dive a little bit into sleep?
Yes.
What do you see with people who have Lyme? How do they sleep well? Is sleep important for their healing? What do they struggle with? What comes to mind when you think about your clients or yourself?
Yeah, most people with Lyme do not sleep worth a crap, you know, and it makes a lot of sense, especially, like I said, it likes to attack the gut. And if you've got a leaky gut, you've got a leaky brain. You know, if you've got inflammation on the gut, you've got inflammation on the brain. And when you're doing that, you're not producing the right amount of melatonin, you're producing too much cortisol. So that whole aspect. There's a level of fatigue that there's no word in the dictionary to explain the level of fatigue that a Lyme person has. Mm-hmm. I used to sleep for 12, 13, 14 hours a night and still wake up and cry when my alarm clock would go off because it felt like I only got 2 minutes of sleep. Like it was ridiculous. And then, you know, because of the stress, my cortisol would raise and I would have like a burst of energy for like an hour in the morning. And then I try to get as much done in that hour. And then I would crash and burn. Yeah. I needed naps. It was nuts. And sleep, my God, like I've become such a biohacker for sleep. Like I've got my Ring Con which is great because you can turn the Wi-Fi off. And so that's been helping me hack my sleep. And then I've got the continuous glucose monitor to kind of help me see how my blood sugar is affecting sleep. I've got a frequency generating machine that has sleep frequencies on here. And then I recently got into essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
And never in my life, like, how have I not played with these oils? They're incredible. So I mix Serenity with a little bit of Breathe because I had nasal stuffiness. And my sleep score went from an 85 to like a 94.
Wow.
You know, the last little bit is I don't think I'm getting enough oxygen at night. So according to this ring, it's telling me that I have a stuffy nose and I'm not getting enough blood oxygen. So now I'm going to be biohacking with them. There's a new nasal strip that's got magnets that's supposed to, because come to find out, I have a deviated septum.
Yeah.
You know, this whole, my whole life, how many doctors have looked up my nose? Why has nobody told me I had a deviated septum?
I haven't. Mine, like, no. That was the first thing they were like, have you ever been punched in the face? I'm like, why? He's like, you have a totally deviated. And the older I get, the more I notice that on the one side, I can't. Like, I can feel that I don't breathe well.
Yeah. See,
oh, yeah, you can.
That one closes. That one does not. Deviated,
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's nuts. It's like, why? And I don't know. I grew up with horses, and a lot of times, you know, with horses, they'll move their head mm-hmm. suddenly and they'll collide with yours. I also played basketball and got a few elbows in the nose. So, but like never a break, but I don't know how I got it, but I just know that I have it. Nobody's ever told me that I have it. Now I look up and I go, oh yeah, look,
you can see it.
I can see it. But so I'm excited to try these new magnet thingies, and hopefully they, because I don't want a CPAP. I don't want a CPAP, but I also know how important it is to get enough oxygen to your brain at night when you sleep. So yeah.
Yeah. And is sleep apnea something you see with Lyme sometimes?
You know, that's yes. So I tell a lot of folks before I even start working with them, there's three big barriers to health, to getting better with Lyme. And one of them is mold, right? If you're living in a moldy environment, I love this. I learned this from Dr. Bruno from Vibrant Labs. She says living in mold is, and trying to treat it is like brushing your teeth and eating Oreos at the same time.
Well, that's right? Nice analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're living in mold and you're, you know, activating your immune system, your nervous system, you could have the best Lyme treatment in the whole wide world, but you are not going to get better until you address that mold. Same with sleep apnea. If you are not getting enough oxygen at night when you're sleeping, again, the best Lyme protocol in the world is not going to get you completely better until you address the sleep apnea. And then the third one is cavitations. So I had my wisdom teeth taken out when I was 11, and it was common practice to leave this certain root or something behind, which then causes a bunch of bacteria and stuff to grow. Then they close it up. And so they basically encapsulate an infection in your jawbone. And I had that surgery done in 2020. So from the time I was 11 till 2020, I had this infection. When they cleaned it out and sent it to pathology, there were like staph in it. There was all kinds of nastiness, few things that caused miscarriages, which I did miscarry. You know, it was eating away at the inner part of my jawbone. And if you think about it, you know, if you've got an infection here and it's so close to the brain, right? And it makes your troops scattered,
yeah.
right? So if you've got a chronic low-grade infection going on, how well is your body going to be able to handle COVID, Lyme disease? You know, you fill in the blank. And so you've got to make sure that your system is strong. And so those are like three things that I try to rule out with folks, especially ones that are kind of treatment resistant when it comes to Lyme. It's like, okay, we got to dig a little deeper. But I actually prefer to start with those first, because like I said, they just can cause so much more money and take longer, that if you deal with it in the beginning instead of the end, I feel like you get better results.
I agree. And I think sleep apnea often is something that so many people have. So many people don't know that they have it. Women particularly, as soon as we like get into perimenopause, menopause, muscle integrity is going down, right? Like this is just going to start pressing. We're maybe putting on a little more body fat, muscle, like mass overall is going down. Your muscles here start loosening. You might have sleep apnea. And I know a lot of people don't like to go that way, right? Because it might be a CPAP that could also just be a mouth guard, depending on what you have, right? But really, I totally agree, something to really dig into. And mold is such a thing, right? Like, I think mold is something We had mold here when we moved into this house because it's an ancient house. And I was like, I think there's mold in the basement because the basement isn't finished. So you can see the foundation. My husband and the real estate agent are like, no, that's minerals. Like that comes lockdown 3 months later. I'm like, why is everybody constantly sick? We're basically self-isolating because of the lockdowns and we're sick. I'm like, guys, I guarantee you that is mold. And then we had somebody come in there like, yeah, of course that's mold. I'm like, okay, great. Thank God we had just moved in. We'd moved from Germany, so we didn't have much furniture. So remediation was actually nice. Oh, like, goodness. It was easily doable. But it was, and I would have, and I don't carry the gene, so I'm not like super duper susceptible, but I felt it. And it's taken me such a long time to really like get it out of the system is a question, because I think we're constantly exposed, right? But for my body to be able to deal with it on a daily basis, without my hormones freaking out, without my vision being all spotty with whatever else there was. It's just everywhere. And I think people really underestimate what that can do to the body, right?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I went to quite a few health conferences last year and a couple funerals in Arizona. And I wouldn't think to find mold in Arizona, but if you think about the hotels there, they're running their AC 24/7, 365 days a year, and they leak, right? Some of the most moldy hotel rooms I dealt with were in Arizona. And then it would take me weeks afterwards to combat the, you know, 10 pounds of water weight that I would gain, the brain fog, like, oh my God, it was horrible. And I need to be a better advocate. Because I'm like a canary in the coal mine, right? I can walk into a room and go, oh shit. Mm-hmm.
It smells.
And instead of unpacking my stuff, I need to take it right back outside and go back to the front door of the hotel and say, you need to find me a new room. And I'm going to be better at that this year, I promise, because I don't want to go through what I did last year. But the struggle is real. And so now I travel. I got a little traveling air purifier that uses ozone and UV light. And then I travel with my binders and glutathione, you know, and so there's things now that I'm trying to do to kind of combat the exposures, because I don't want to be bubble girl, right? And I love the health conferences. I love traveling. I love meeting new people. So I'm trying to figure out a way to be in the world without having this world take me out.
I know. And I think that's the approach. Like, we have to get to a point with our clients where they can do that, right? Ideally, I have a client right now, like we have her sleeping now, but she lives in mold in Florida. Like, there's mold, like, it's just one of the most humid states, right? It's like there's mold everywhere. I'm like, no, we're going to have to get you to a point that your body can eventually deal with that, so it doesn't freak out every time you are exposed, because you're going to be exposed if you keep living there. And if you want to live there, I fully understand, because it's your life, right? You've lived there forever and you have your social circles there and stuff. So just need to get the body to come to a state where it can handle what we throw at it or what the environment throws at it.
Absolutely.
So what about, if somebody, like, let's say somebody, it's winter while we're recording this, so we don't have them outside, likely that many takes, but they come the season and we get bitten. What is something to, like, ideally people not go through these horrible many years of experience that you've had? What are a few things that people should do right away?
Gotcha. So, and that is the sad kind of misconception, like ticks don't hibernate. And so your exposure does get less, you know, in the fall and the winter months, but it doesn't go away completely. So always being aware, like, there's cool little things out on the market right now called like a tick mitt. And it's a mitt. And when you come home, you know, if you've got exposed legs or arms or even just on your clothes, you know, you take it all over you and then you roll it up and you put it in this special sack and then you throw it in the dryer for 10 minutes because the heat will actually kill ticks. So if you have anything on you, it'll get killed before you bring it into your home. And mm-hmm. so there's certain preventative things. There's TikTok. There's a, you know, it's an herbal spray, but it's a better than DEET, actually. They found that it's even more, you know, works better than DEET without all the chemical crap. So, you know, putting on a repellent before you go outside can help. Staying just out of tall grassy areas, especially having exposed skin. And if you do find one on you, make sure you're taking it out correctly, you know, pair of tweezers straight up, no heat. But if you suspect it, or you just need some peace of mind, you can send it to places like Tickology is the name of the lab. It's actually a lab that's in the town, just right next door to me. And you can send it there and they will actually test the tick to see what it's carrying, to see if you should start any kind of any regimen or treatment. And then the last thing, you know, is if you're really like, I don't even want to mess around with it, there's a couple week doxycycline regimen that you can ask your doctor for that'll help. But there's also some herbal regimens that will help in combination that you can take for a month or two to help, you know, combat any kind of infection that you might get. But always making sure, again, dialing in your lifestyle, right? If your immune system is healthy, if you're not full of toxins, you know, you're going to be able to handle what comes at you in this life. Like I said, whether it's COVID or Lyme disease or mold, you know, what have you. So just dialing in your sleep, dialing in your, you know, detoxification, making sure that you're eating and getting the right amount and quality food, you know, that type of stuff is going to go huge as far as, you know, who gets it and how bad and all that sort of stuff.
Right. So, but if somebody says, oh, I really want to do something because I don't want to take the risk that this was a disease carrying tick of any kind, it really is quite a treatment. Right? They do like 1-2 months. Like you really have to go for quite a while to make sure it doesn't then show up after.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm not a big fan of long-term antibiotic use. You know, there's been a lot of research that shows, you know, it absolutely wipes out your gut. It can lead to more problems than what it's worth. And then a lot of times, because this bacteria is so stealthy that it starts hiding and it's immune, your immune system, like it can go into different forms to evade, to stay away from the antibiotics. To where, like I said, they are finding the herbs are working just as well on these persister forms, on the cyst forms, and just a hell of a lot more gentler on the body, without all the side effects. And so, yeah, I'm not a big fan of long-term antibiotics use, but some people it's really helped. You know, I know Dr. Horowitz has come out with a double dapsone protocol right now that in conjunction with methylene blue is supposed to be absolutely incredible for people to use, you know, for 3 months. But like I said, I've had a lot of really good luck with some of the bioenergetic stuff, the herbal stuff, on top of dialing in lifestyle and you know, the things that FDN does.
Awesome. If people suspect that this is something they might be dealing with and they really want to get on top of that and they're willing to address lifestyle, diet, all the things and do the work, where can they find you?
TheLimeBoss.com, like everywhere, podcast, website, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, the Lime Boss. That's LYME, not LIME. We're not making margaritas.
Awesome. And I think you also have a little gift that you wanted to share with the audience.
Yes, because I'm so passionate about dialing in the lifestyle stuff. Sometimes people come to me not even knowing how to cook, right? So then when I'm telling them they need to stop eating out for a couple of months and they need to dial in their food and they look at me like I've got two heads, you know, I was like, okay, how can I help them? And so I decided to make a cooking video series, right? I'm showing you how to use, and it's not just food. It's also talking about the toxins that are in a lot of cookware and why choose grass-fed beef over confinement beef and pasture-raised eggs over confinement eggs. So it's a whole level of education on why and how, what to eat, right? And, you know, with these tools, and it take, you know, beautiful meal in like 20 minutes or less. It's ridiculous. So I'm very passionate about people getting back in the kitchen, learning how to cook. It's like the ultimate expression of love, you know, for your body and nourishment. And so yeah, it's a free cooking video series.
Awesome. And we will drop the link below for sure, so people can go and check that out. Anything else? Any other words of wisdom, advice? Anything else you would like to share?
You're not crazy. It's not in your head. Don't give up. If you know you've seen 25 different practitioners, pull yourself back up by your big girl panties and try, you know, number, what did I say? 21. You know, it might be that last person that helps put all the things back together. You know, I think that's where sometimes athletes have a little bit more advantage over getting over health stuff than like a typical normal person, because they've had to overcome and train, right, to keep going after failure after failure after failure, right? Because a lot, you know, regular people, quote unquote, I shouldn't say regular or normal, but you know what I mean, non-athletes, right, don't usually have to come head to head with that failure all the time. And a lot of times it's not even that failure, right? It's just what's not working. So how awesome is that, that you figured out, well, that didn't work, so now you're on to the next thing. But just don't give up.
Yes, that is so important. Really go out there, look for other solutions. There are, and the body is such a smart thing we live in. It can heal. If it has the right tools, it can sort itself out.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Heather. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching, and we'll be back soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sleep Like a Boss podcast with me, Anika Carroll. Be sure to follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts. We also invite you to play the game of sleep with us, if you haven't done so, at sleeplikeaboss.com. This podcast is for informational purposes only. We hope you enjoyed the episode. And until next time, and to a good night's sleep.